you. Won't you tell me your name? Hello. I love you. Let me jump in your day. Welcome in to the Patreon bonus podcast. I didn't give you any warning that this was coming. I just threw it on the air. It's because, of course, I'm limited on my time. This is one of those days. It doesn't help that I was sitting here and I go, I think EZ needs a nappy poo. The one thing that we can't have is EZ not getting a nappy poo. Or when EZ is feeling a little bit groggy, I just crash. It was a fantastic, obliterating nap. As O'Neill is, I don't know if he's pouting over there. He's kind of like not looking at us right now. Hey, big guy. Hey, big fella. So it had to be. Chris knows that I'm under the gun on this show today. I guess I'm doing that today. Things are stacking up on top of each other, but I had to get this podcast done. I just finished up doing the PA announcing for the Unified basketball game. This is going to be one of those heartwarming stories. Okay. I'm at the scorer's table. And if you don't know, you've got the Jennison special ed kids. That's Pooh Bear's team. And the rival school, Zeeland. They're not rivals. They're just the Zeeland special ed kids show up and they play a basketball game. And it's really great because, you know, they're actually playing. Of course, the rules aren't really enforced. You're going to get a lot of, well, there's really no rules. The kids stop dribbling. They carry the ball like they're Walter Payton or maybe a running back who's alive. Name me a running back. I can't think of a current running back. It doesn't matter. You get the idea. And so they... the game's taking place, and my job is to announce for them, do the PA announcing. Now, to my right is a young fella by the name of Carter. Now, I may have been told that Carter likes to be the PA announcer, or at least wants to be. I think he actually does do the PA announcing. And Diana might have said Carter's going to want to announce. He's one of the special ed kids sitting right next to me. But this has not resonated with me. She may have told me. So I've got my little script. I'm like, welcome, everybody. Okay. And they bring in as many students as they can. Like some of these kids that are coming in are like, it's their option to either go to class or go to the... So they're going to pack the place. And I say everybody had a part on this because the kids were really involved in the game. I mean, this isn't exactly the NBA championship here, but they really made the kids feel that way, where they were reacting to the baskets scored and when they would do their thing on the court. So it was all cool. And the other team scores first, so I announce the other team's name, like the player. I have their rosters in front of me. And then the kid next to me, Carter, goes, I want to announce. So I'm like, all right, kid wants to announce. He's going to announce. So I announce the one kid's name, and I'm like, Chris Denham. And then our team scores, and I hold the mic. I put it up to Carter's face, and he says, Kenny Henson. And I thought, you know, he did a... He hung on to his words like you would when you're doing PA. I mean, he's a kid. So, I mean, it's not even close to being as good as me. I'm kidding. Jesus, I can't even get behind that joke. But anyway, he actually, like, put something into it. So then I would do the... So I'm doing the away team, and he knows his classmates. So when his classmates score, he knows their names. He's watching the game. So sometimes he can't see who scores, and I tell him, oh, that was whatever, the kid's name. And then he would say it. So he's crushing it. I thought to myself, I go, it seems like he knows what he's doing, you know? Chris says, me and Kenny just hooping it up. Yes, you guys are part of the special ed basketball team. Anyway, so the game ends. And like the kid's mom comes up to me, the kid to my right, his mom's in tears. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with this chick? Is there a school shooting or something going on? And the teachers come up. They go, he's never, ever done it like that before. Usually he just kind of mumbles it out. But because you were there and he heard you, he changed it up. He's like, become an announcer. I go, oh, well, that's, you see, that's good. Now he knows that's how you do that. Chris writes, except one would get a free throw and be like, ow, my back. Of course, there's a lot of jokes, by the way, that I'm leaving on the table. That I kind of want to say. Now, I'm going to leave those behind. Probably best. I'm thinking about show mom Megan. But, you know, all the kids got to play. None of them like shit in their hand and wiped it on another kid. It's all good. Everything was fantastic. It was an absolute dream come true. Pooh Bear writes, thank you for doing that. Everyone loves you. I think there's a chance I might get anal out of this. So there was, I just heard from one of our Patreon audience members who, yeah, I've never had anybody complain about the content on a Patreon ever. And until today, but it isn't so much a complaint. It's this person, thinks that I'm wrong about something. During the Angel of Death episode yesterday, at some point I must have talked some shit about the war between Gaza and Israel. And as you know, I've been very upfront saying this should never have happened if it weren't for the Palestinians going in and killing more than 1,600 or whatever the number is. I don't think it's that. I think it's more like 1,300 Israelis. On October 7th. And I've often said, if you put yourself into the position of the U.S., if somebody attacked us, we would do the same goddamn thing. So I don't know where Braden is coming in, who he's a Patreon member. I couldn't disagree more, though, because Braden writes, Eric, you're on the wrong side of this war, man. Talk about Palestinians like they're actual people, man. It's an ethnic cleansing, for God's sake. Now, it's not, okay? Because if it were an ethnic cleansing, it would have been over on October 8th, all right? It's just a war. A war that the opposition, the leaders of Hamas and all of their military that make up the Palestinians are hiding in plain sight with the civilians of that community. The civilians who threw their support to them wholeheartedly and their terroristic actions. They actually chose this. So I responded with, nope, it's just a war that Palestine started on October 7th. This is there's no way you could refer to this as an ethnic cleansing. That's a word. Those are words you use that happened to the Armenians. That's an ethnic cleansing. That's going from village to village, wiping out the whole village. That's what happens on the night of broken glass, Kristallnacht, to start the Holocaust. All right? I think I'm getting that right, aren't I? Is my history right on that? What happened to millions of Jews throughout Europe. I mean, that's an ethnic cleansing. This is not. Israel is going through destroying as much as they can, I should say, in their attempt to get rid of Hamas, the things that are in their way are getting destroyed. And then once that is done, here's your country back. So I don't know what you mean by that, Braden. I couldn't have less of a problem with Palestinian people who are just trying to live. So I think you might be a little bit emotionally involved in this, but you're wrong, unfortunately. Chris says, is this the guy you gave the kidney to? Man, because Jeffrey always would say, man, hey, man. Jeffrey's doing great, by the way. He's really doing awesome. I hear from him all the time. The guy is just a bundle of energy. He is unbelievable. Hang on, I got to drink this. I think there's more there that I have to drink. Okay. Lady in Texas is the new oldest living American. She is 114 years old. Elizabeth Francis. Let's see. The previous was Eddie Cesarelli. He died 5 days ago at 116 years old in California. So that means there's a change in the leaderboard as this sweet lady is now at the top spot. Okay. All right, say what you will, but I hope I look that good. No, I can't say that. She looks horrible, for God's sake. I was going to say, I hope I look that good when I'm 114, but no, I really hope I don't. I mean, that's not great. Hang on, I got to drink this. I think anyone who's alive at 114, you can simply just say they look good for 114. I think her hands make her look younger than her face. Okay, because she has like smooth skin. So I'll say that this part of her doesn't look 114. A little bit more about this, because the way the media does this is, so they had the one guy at 116 and then he croaked, and then the people immediately started banging on her door to get an interview, and you know what the questions are. What is the secret to your long life? She's also the fifth oldest person on Earth is what that word is. Sorry, this is a dog fight going on in the background. It's messing me up. She's in Houston. She says, it's not my secret. It's the good Lord's good blessing, which is an excellent thing to say when you're so close to the end. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, she might live a lot longer, but more than likely it's coming, you know. She said in an interview, I just thank God I'm here. All right. Sorry, just checking things out. Born July 25th, 1909, a few months after President William Taft was inaugurated president, and 11 years before women had the right to vote. She's lived through two world wars, the Spanish flu, and COVID. She lives with her 94-year-old daughter, Dorothy, in a private residence. If her daughter's 94. My God. The granddaughter is 68. The daughter can't even speak. She's so old. The granddaughter says, we're just so grateful that she's still here. And my mom, who's her daughter, she only had one child, is still alive also. Longevity runs in the family. One of her sisters lived to 106. Her dad died at 99. All right. She's tried to do things to stay healthy, says granddaughter. So that means if the granddaughter is 68, that means the great-granddaughter, let's just say, is 46. And then she could have great-great-great-grandchildren. Maybe there's even... I can't even count the greats. She also walked regularly until her early 90s. Wow. To think that dad will be 90. And, I mean, he still is 24 years younger than this lady. My God. I'm amazed at longevity when people really live a long time. Kenny says, do they Photoshop her hands? Old people never have smooth skin, just saying. Yeah, exactly. But Maureen, who is fond of blacks, says black don't crack. That's true. I've got a lot of people that have black people in their family. Like Maureen has black kids. I think she adopted them. I think that's the story, right? Or you found them or something. They were like given up here and then you just brought them in. And then Rebecca is dating a black guy. Well, she's married to a black guy. They've been happily married for a long time. He's really sweet. All of my black listeners are super sweet. I don't think I actually have one or any. I feel like I'm getting myself into trouble with this type of talk. Amy says, I was just going to ask if they said how many generations are alive. Yeah, I'm guessing all of them. Maureen says, we adopted. Yes, we adopted all of our blacks, and they are half black, she says. That sounds weird. Kenny says, that's true. Black people could be 67 and look 27. Yeah, well, that's great. I'm glad that they don't get ugly like the fucking white people. Amy says, she found them? Good grief, Eric. LOL, they weren't stray cats. That was a joke. You know, I'm glad that I can joke with you guys about these hard-hitting topics. By the way, you may have caught me doing this a second ago, like looking over my shoulder. I was looking for shit, and then I realized that O'Neill had burped. And wow, that was bad. It wasn't as bad as that fart at TC Paintball the other night, but it was very, very bad. Okay. So congrats to her. 114 years old. Closer to home, the college, one of the many religious colleges that make up the Grand Rapids area, one of them is Calvin College. And this is one of the most conservative institutions there is in America. There's a lot of them like that around here. There's Cornerstone. There's Calvin. There's Hope. There's the Bible College. I mean, everywhere you go, it is. It's interesting because Madison, being one of the gays, I don't even think they had like gay rights at Hope for the longest time. I think that if you, I think at Hope that if they found out you were gay, they would like burn you in like the town square. Anyway, at Calvin, the guy who runs the school, the president, he just had to quit because he did something, quote unquote, inappropriate. Calvin University president leaving over inappropriate messages. Now, there's just not enough information here because the president's name is Wiebe Boer. And Wiebe Boer, B-O-E-R, that's a very Dutch name. Wiebe Boer sent inappropriate messages to someone, not a student, no one affiliated with the university. And from what I'm understanding, they weren't sexual. They were just unwelcome and inappropriate. So that could be anything. That could be like if somebody pissed you off and you told him to go fuck himself. That is unwelcome and inappropriate. Like whenever I send something to John Jamingo, it's always, hey, you fat fuck, the end is near, fuck off. That is unwelcome and inappropriate. But this guy, he fucking got fired because he just sent something that's unwelcome and inappropriate. He didn't do anything. All right, let's get to, there's whole, not a whole lot more to this fucking story. It's just remarkable, though, that he had to quit over
tonight, the president of Calvin University is now off the job after the university says that Weba Boor reportedly engaged in, quote, unwelcome and inappropriate communication.
A letter. It's Weba Boor. I was calling him Weeby Boor.
From the Board of Trustees said.
Oops. Hey, knock it off. All right, this isn't great. Thing just puked on me. Hello? Go. All right, the juice isn't worth the squeeze. That's pretty much it. I hate it when that happens. Jimmy says political correctness is out of control. Yeah, I wish they would give more details as to what the guy said. Calvin was made aware through a recent report. The report did not include allegations that Boor's communication was sexually explicit or that there was any physical contact, but the alleged conduct is concerning and inappropriate, the school wrote. Ah, who gives a shit? This guy's only been on the job for a few years. This school, Calvin, there's two of them, Calvin and Cornerstone. In Cornerstone, Calvin didn't allow dance on campus, dancing, until like 1975. And Cornerstone's even worse. They didn't allow dancing until like 04, 05. No dancing. Which, I mean, there was never a time when I was walking around campus and people would just start dancing or anything like that. But there was no dance organizations. There was no school activities that centered around dance because they said that was sinful. That's how fucking conservative these schools are around here. Chris says, who's going to sponsor the Eric Zane Show podcast dog fighting ring in the back? Yeah, the only way I was able to keep my concentration when that was going on was because I just had a nap, so I'm all good. All right. Oh, my God, our very own Footloose situation. That's true. Can you believe that shit? Folks, I'm going to leave it right there because I'm getting ready to do another podcast at 2 p.m. with Kristen Blatt. If you want to join me, you can watch it live on YouTube. So you go to YouTube and then search out Who Are These Podcasts? And it's right there. We're getting ready to start in 17 minutes. So I'm looking forward to that. Always a good time. Who Are These Broadcasters is the name of the show. Thank you for being here for this one. And there you go. Next time, bye-bye. Hello to you all. It's me, Tom again. Welcome into the Eric Zane Show podcast Patreon bonus. Dick's out for Bleeding Heart Braden. He has left the building. That was something. Braden is, he's protesting the war. You know, you had that one guy who lit himself on fire in front of the Israeli embassy. I think that it's a more effective protest to cancel the Patreon than light yourself on fire. Because, you know, you're not dead. You cancel the Patreon over EZ's stance on the war in Gaza. That's a better thing to do than light yourself on fire. Guy who lit himself on fire is not alive anymore. He's willing to die for the cause. So Bleeding Heart Braden is with that guy. he's willing to cancel the Patreon for a cause. Bleeding Heart Braden cancels the Patreon. Guy lights himself on fire. So those are two big moments for protest. Now, I'm just, again, I'm curious if Bleeding Heart Braden is just taking EZ, the umbrage on EZ, or is this like every person he comes in contact with? Because if that's the way it is, you know, I mean, if he's a college student, he's going to be telling people to go fuck themselves. You know, if there's a chick that he happens to date one day, you know, I don't know. I'm curious, but he's taking a hard and fast stance on your old pal EZ. He says, I have had it with enough of your shenanigans. True, Hamas started a war with these people and slaughtered thousands of men, women, and children. And Israel is responding. Bleeding Heart Braden says it's okay for Hamas to slaughter those people. He's like, yeah, slaughter the Jews. Bleeding Heart Braden wants Jews to be dead. That is what so to protest that, he has canceled the Patreon. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a bumper sticker on the back of Bleeding Heart Braden's car that says, the only good Jew is a dead Jew. Okay, that is what I'm being led to believe here. Okay, I mean, that's the only way I can interpret that. So now that he's canceled the Patreon, he might even show up out in front of the house and light himself on fire because EZ is Team Israel. I don't know. On to bigger and better things. I just heard that from Madison, and someone has smashed into Madison's car. All right. Before I get to that, Kenny writes, you cannot cancel the Patreon for that. You can only get butt hurt for stupid shit and cancel, not stuff that makes sense. Okay, true, but I wouldn't say even that what he's saying makes sense. I would say that Kenny's canceling of the Patreon makes more sense than Bleeding Heart Braden's, okay? I mean, this is a great way to earn a nickname. Tyler says, your voice sounds a lot better, EZ. It's getting better by the minute. Yesterday's day off was just what the doctor ordered. I credit all of you for telling me to not press on and to, in fact, take the day off. Darla, knock it off. Don't start that shit with me. Take your dog to work day. Kenny says, no, he's not making sense. You're making sense. Oh, I got you. Okay. Yeah, feeling good. So about 10:30, I get a phone call from Madison. And this is the time of day that if you get a phone call from Madison at this time of day, something's up. Something's up. Now, I'm hoping it's not going to be the, which, I mean, that has been the go-to for how long now? Well, let's see. She's 21. So pretty much that entire time, I've had to deal with that. Where is that clip of her?
Hello? Yeah, hi, Maddie. What's up? You sound like you're upset. Okay, I was able to gather out of that something about your mother is upset because your BS case is missing and you can't find it anymore?
Candy jar. Put it by the candy jar.
So I'm guessing that it'll probably turn up, you know, over time. It probably just can't find it right now because you're rushing looking for it. Do you think it's gone forever? No, I don't think so, baby. We'll find it, I promise you. Me too. I want to find it too, but I'm. It might take a little looking.
We didn't come
Okay. Well, it sounds like you're having a rough start to your day. I'm sorry. Okay. I love you.
Love you too.
All right.
Talk to mommy.
Sure. It'll be okay.
But talk to mommy.
Yeah. Mm. Hey. Can you put mommy on? Wow. We recorded that. It's awesome.
Oh, yay.
No. Ear piercing. We're driving. Trying to concentrate. There it is. Stop it.
That makes it worse.
Yeah, it really
every
helps,
time
God.
You tell him.
How old was she here?
Two and a half.
Four now.
One and a half, maybe.
Forever.
All right, nothing's changed. So when I see at 10:30, 10:40, I've got a phone call from like, oh boy. I call her back, and she's not doing that. I'm like, oh, something's going on. And she goes, my car. So I'm thinking, okay, either there's a problem, like the car stopped running, and she goes, someone hit my car. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, yeah, it's fucked. Somebody smashed her damn car in the parking spot. She wasn't even in the car when it happened. But I got the kid's info who hit it, and she couldn't have been sweeter. Couldn't have been sweeter. So I talked to her. This is the type of deal where her insurance company is going to. So Madison basically on this 20-year-old car is going to get like some. It needs to be ripped. The bumper is all fucking ripped off. This car is fucked. I'm like, how hard did you hit it when you were backing out of that damn thing? So everybody's okay, but I fully was expecting it to be just terrible news when she when I saw that she was calling me. I was like, oh no, here we go. God damn it. By the way, you know what? I better not say anything. I'm going to blue ball you on that one. Better just keep that one to myself. Okay. I don't know if you've heard about, a trad wife, T-R-A-D, trad wife. I guess the word is trad wife. It's seen in TikTok videos. You're seeing, there's a trend where people are shooting videos of themselves as a trad wife. And a trad wife is short for traditional wife. And I don't know how traditional it is, but it's, I guess, like the husband is the one who works and the mom takes care of the kids and cooks the meals and stuff like that. I guess that's the term. I don't know. Well, this chick is explaining that her husband started watching TikTok videos of various influencers who are trad wives. Oops. And as soon as he started watching these trad wives, he started to get an a non-realistic picture of how life should be. So the way they were living before was, where they have been living is, you know, he works, she works. They both take care of the kids. They both take care of the house, you know, the way most of us do. There was a period of time that the Queen of the Forest was a trad wife, but not exactly, because a trad wife, according to this definition, is one who cooks and cleans and stuff like that. And Pooh Bear wasn't
starving.
That really wasn't her thing. No. Instead, what she would do is she'd wake up after I go to work, and then the kids go to school, and then she would go in the backyard and sit by the pool and drink Moscow mules with her girlfriends. And I'd come home, and they'd be fucking shit-faced. I'm like, hey, how's it going? They're like, oh, yeah, we're having a good time. Want to see our tits? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to bed. I'm fucking tired. Have fun. See you later. Eat each other's snatch. See ya. Bye. I'm going to bed. And God knows what happened. I mean, seriously, for the longest time, it was debauchery. I'll never forget, we were visiting over at my friend's who lives on a lake. And I told this story on the radio. These chicks are so, I think they're all, it was my part of my my theory that all women are a little bit lesbian. And I pull up on a jet ski, and Diana's got her top off. And people are looking at her tits and touching her tits. She just got new tits. So they're like, oh, yeah, those look great. Oh, fuck yeah, let me see them. All right, let me touch them. They're like touching her tits. And then another chick takes her top off. And she's like, well, and she doesn't have fake tits. And they're like, oh, yeah, you would look great with fake tits. Let's get some fake tits, because they're having a fake tits party. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Guys would never do that type of shit. You know? Stevie says she lets the man make all the decisions. Shit like that. Yeah, so I don't think Diana was a full-on trad wife. So this chick, her and her husband are, this is in the New York Post. Nowadays, the New York Post basically just, they're like Freebird and Hot Wings. They take Reddit shit and write stories about them. So who knows if it's true? Okay. Sometimes people just get on Reddit and write just to see if it takes off. Doesn't mean it's true. But I believe the scenario is true. It has to be. There's too many people in the world for this not to be true. The guy has been looking at TikToks of these trad wives, and he so now wants that to happen that he started to like suddenly change his attitude towards the wife. And it's fucked the guy up, according to this. And now she's left holding the bag because he doesn't want to be married to her anymore because he wants a trad wife. A woman revealed that watching the videos completely changed her husband's character, causing the end of their 12-year union. You know, if you're married to a guy who's such a weak-kneed simpleton, whose stupid TikTok videos is going to influence his attitude towards you, you lucked out. Thank God. Thank God that happened. If you're married to some namby-pamby pussy who's like, oh, I want my marriage to be like this trad wife. Fucking, you're so lucky you're getting away from this piece of shit. Trad wife refers to a woman who proudly eschewed, is that the word? A career in favor of domestic duties such as cooking, cleaning, and child rearing. Trad wife typically believes a working woman hurts the nuclear family and aims to cater to her husband's every whim. Ugh. Oh. That's horrible. Like, if there's ever a time that Diana says to me, hey, can I do this? I'm like, why are you asking me? Well, I don't know. I don't like that you're even asking me. I don't give a shit what you do. Like, the latest thing she's doing is, like, if there's a home project here that hasn't been done, she just hires people. And I don't even know about it. And I'm like, yeah, Yeah, that's what you want to do. You can't, I'm not the boss or some shit. I don't know. It's kind of like a group effort. I'm not like the fucking, I'm the big swinging dick around here. You got to follow my rules. Oh, Jesus Christ. Look, I'm good at one thing and one thing only. That's sitting in this goddamn chair and talking into this fucking microphone. And that's about it. There's nothing else that I excel at. Don't turn to me for getting this shit done and doing this and doing that and making a big decision. No, fuck that. Give me a couple hours, this mic, and that's the end of it. That's all I'm capable of doing. Nothing more. And acting impulsively. And if that gets me to any further in life, then that's all fucking time borrowed. I don't even know what that means. It's gotten me this far, is what I'm trying to say. On TikTok, the Tradwife hashtag has clocked up a whopping 296.5 million views and has made unexpected stars out of several women who show off their happy home lives. You know what is a good thing is for these Tradwives on TikTok, they dress provocatively while they're cleaning and shit like that, and they're kind of hot, you know, MILFs. And they have this subservient vibe where the husband comes home and, ooh, hey, big boy, I just cleaned for you. How about you clean up my asshole with your mouth? Ooh, or I clean yours. Ooh. You know, that shit. In a Reddit post, the woman explained that her husband happened upon the videos earlier this year. We were not a traditional couple. We both work. We both chores and childcare. We didn't complain about it. And then he started acting weird. He complained about how I looked. He complained about the food. He complained about me working long hours. I worked the same hours as him. Throughout our marriage, he never had any complaints about the food I cook. I dress up in a more comfortable attire when I am in the house. He never had a problem with that ever. A wife learned that her spouse had started becoming obsessed with one particular trad wife on TikTok. Her content looked made up and not realistic to me because what was 100% for the male audience. I told him this was all an act that she puts up for the world to see. This is not reality. She's right. Plus, nobody cleans their house wearing pretty dresses. The dresses will get dirty. Oh, yeah. No. I don't want my wife doing the fucking scrubbing of the floor because I like doing it so that when I do it, I have like, oh, God, I got something done today. You know, and I don't, she does so much. We do equal amounts, you know, and if I were ever not pulling my weight, she's like, yeah, hey, whatever you do, don't put your dishes away. Don't put them in the dishwasher. Let's see. Comments are minimal. However, the husband was undeterred. He purportedly began comparing his wife to a friend who was a stay-at-home mom. He subsequently urged her to quit her career to be at home with her daughters on a full-time basis. Oh, God. He knew I wasn't the type of woman who wanted to be a homemaker. He had no problem with that. I tried to tell him to stop watching this type of content. It really hurts me that he would idolize another woman rather than his wife. No, you want him looking at it. Again, think about that. Fake shit on the phone has influenced your smooth-brained, fuck-face husband. This is great that you're getting out while you're still young. You can still get remarried to a normal guy who isn't a piece of shit. Marriage continued to break down. Final straw coming when the wife discovered that her husband had been talking to another woman online. Ah, yes. The old using your real life as an insulator to a fake fantasy life. He wasn't even ashamed or felt remorse, she said after busting her Bose clandestine communications. He told me he deserves better. Oh, what a loser. Yep. Various people advised this person, if it's even true, that, you know, take him to the cleaners. Take him to divorce court. Did you know that in California, that let's say you got a trad wife, she stays home, and you make $5 million a year, and you got three kids, and then the wife says, I've had it, I'm gonna divorce you. And you divorce him in the state of California. I sounded like Schwarzenegger there. California. Not only, okay, he'll pay her till the kids are 18 for child support, but he's going to pay her spousal support for life, like forever, in the state of California. My God, I've got a family member who is in this exact boat right now. I don't talk about her. She is married to a guy, and these two despise each other. He makes tons of money. All right. And it's to a point where other family members are telling the female in the relationship, yeah, just go out and get some dick and then sue his ass and divorce him. And they're actually encouraging her to cheat on the guy. Excuse me. It's that bad. Now, in my mind, you know, it sounds awful. I'm starting to wonder if, can you imagine if Pooh Bear was like, yeah, your dick doesn't work anymore the way it used to. We haven't had cream pies or butt cream pies in forever. I'm leaving you. God, I hope not. Chris says, well, we knew that's where this was headed. Kenny says, geez, I bet you wish I would tell you who it is. I don't think you know the person. A person that I haven't really talked about on this show. There's a new documentary about Wendy Williams that a writer for the New York Post, Kirsten Fleming, says, in an opinion piece, none of us should watch the heartbreaking Wendy Williams documentary. Now, it remains to be seen about what the makers of this were thinking, but cameras started to be on Wendy Williams, the old talk show host chick, some time ago, not that long ago, and there's some confusion about whether or not the people who are making the Wendy Williams documentary are saying they had no idea that she was fucked up. She's got the same thing that's wrong with Bruce Willis. Some type of dementia. Williams has been weird for a little while. Tail end of her career, she ended up wrapping up her show. And then they did this documentary. Got some cameras on her called Where is Wendy Williams? And right at about the time that it comes out, it's announced that Williams has dementia. Now, she's got a litany of other health problems as well. She has Graves' disease, which is a metabolic disorder that makes your eyes like bug out from your head, which is why in this clip she looks the way she does. She's ill, okay? There's another clip of her right here with, that's why her eyes look like that. She's fucked up. This is her at a happier time. She looks normal. But now with this documentary coming out and this writer for the New York Post is saying, yeah, don't watch it. Yeah, I don't want to watch it because it's just fucking awful. The only thing you'd be talking about is just how fucked up she is. It starts with the paragraph, it's usually a delicious proposition, raw, unfettered access to a celebrity in the midst of a personal and professional metamorphosis. That's how the controversial new Lifetime docuseries, Where is Wendy Williams, began, say producers. Camera started rolling in August of 22 amid a cluster of scary medical diagnoses. Troubling behavior, falsely claiming she had married a cop, collapsing on live TV, a stint in a sober house, and the canceling of her talk show after 13 years. But instead of feeling privy to a journey of redemption and self-discovery, the viewer quickly realizes they've wandered into a house of horrors, past the caution tape to the point of no return. This series is invasive, uncomfortable, and inhumane. Writer goes on to say, within the first few minutes of the four-parter, it's evident that something beyond Tito's vodka, which she proclaims her love for in a scene, is destroying her brain, her soul, and ever-loosening grasp of reality. While there are rare lucid moments, Williams often seems almost feral. Her mood swings are as unreliable as her memory. Can you imagine in an article being described as feral? Like a wayward cat, you're feral? In one scene, she visits her hometown of Asbury Park, New Jersey, points out her childhood street, only to be told by a stranger that that's on an entirely different road. In another, a confused Williams yells at her driver and now former publicist to buy vape pens. When they arrive at her usual smoke shop, a disoriented Williams throws a tantrum, prompting producers to finally call cut for the day. My God. Days before the...
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Series premiere, dueling bombshell headlines dropped. Williams' family told People that the former talk show host, who was placed under a financial guardianship in May of 22 after her bank, Wells Fargo, claimed she was incapacitated, is in a care facility and they can only speak to her when she calls them, and diagnosed with primary progressive aphasia and frontotemporal dementia. My God. Yeah, that's a rough go. And now there's a goddamn documentary about how fucked up she is. So people are saying, don't watch it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I won't. Even if she wasn't fucked up, I wouldn't watch it. Kenny says, those eyes, easy on the caffeine, lady. I told you, Kenny, it's because she has Graves' disease. I made that clear to you. Do you not listen to me? You can't attack someone whose eyes are bugging out of their head because of an issue like that. I don't think it's caffeine. That reminds me of the time fucking idiot Freebeer, who had that propensity to always step into it. Kenny says it was a joke, dummy. Yeah, you can't take a run at somebody after I just told you that they have a disease, Kenny. That's not fair. Idiot Freebeer, the woman at the hockey game in Trenton, New Jersey, was in the nosebleed seats. We happened to be walking through, like, saying hi to people. And a chick who had Wendy Williams eyes, obviously a thyroid disorder of some type, her eyes were sticking, like, way out of her head. She says, I thought that was you guys down on the ice. I spotted you. And dumb fuck goes, yeah, good eye. We're like, God damn it. What is wrong with you? And he says, he claims that he didn't mean to do it. It's like, you'd absolutely meant to do it. If you didn't mean to do it, you're just an idiot. All right, in the background on that chair, O'Neill's had enough. He had Bruce laying on top of him. Darla gets on there. What a catastrophe. I really like the new room setup. It actually gives me more of the room. This is a lot better. I don't know why it took so long to figure this out. It took me more than 5 years to figure out this is the best place that the camera can possibly be. Update. Kenny says, any news on the cousin moving in? Mimi. Was that the name? Yes, that's Mimi. Well, she's got to sell her place. But yeah, that's going to happen. She's in a place that she lives right now. She actually owns it. She will sell it. And then she'll arrive on the scene here. Have not yet broke the news to the NFK. Also, update for you. Diana had a anxiety attack. To the T anxiety attack. Donating a kidney is not for everyone. And we learned this because she was all gung-ho about donating that kidney. And there was an appointment last week, Saturday, that she had to go. And it's the big blood draw. Because when you do this, there's one particular. She got a little bit through the process. And then she started having a goddamn anxiety over it. And I go, well, I had that too. I just didn't listen to it and it went away, but whatever you think. And it didn't leave. She kept, the big blood draw was coming. It's 19 vials of blood. No big deal. You just draw it and you wait there for an hour and you leave. But that started to like affect her mental well-being. And I go, okay, they're going to find out about this. You have to tell them that. If you, let's just say you don't listen to that voice in your head, they're going to find out that this happened to you because they're going to ask you and they're going to be able to tell if you're lying or not because they give you a full psych exam. And if you seem like that, they're going to pull the plug on it anyway. So, I mean, fortunately, I was able to keep them from thinking that I was having an anxiety issue, which I did actually. But I was able to mask that and ignore them and get through it. She goes, I can't do it. I go, hey, I go, donated a kidney is not for everyone. You cannot feel bad about that. It's either in or out. You can't be half pregnant when it comes to this. So I totally understand. Don't worry about another thing. Just tell the people that you were working with. And it's just not meant to be. Just not meant to be. But I had talked about that on the Patreon. And I hadn't talked about it on the free podcast, but I wanted you to know because I probably shouldn't even have spoke about it ahead of time because of this exact thing happening. But I was so excited about it. So anyway, that's what's up. Excuse me. Cannot believe how much better I feel. Tyler says, I was hoping there was going to be another story about her leaving her paperwork for the blood work at home again. Oh. Yeah, that was great. Because we were both at that time planning on helping Jeffrey. And then the doc said, well, Eric is clearly great. So we're going to take his. But before that, yeah, we went in for blood work. It was like our first blood work. The people at UCLA were working separately with us. So Diana's got her own person she's talking to, and I have mine. That's the way they wanted to do it. Okay, all you have to do, Mr. Zaitunian, is hit print and take this document with you to the facility that you're going to get your blood drawn. They'll handle the rest. Okay. She's supposed to do the same thing. we get there. And I've got my paperwork. And then she's standing next to me and they go, hey, do you have your paperwork? And she goes, oh, I'm with him. Oh, okay. And she goes, no, I mean, like, I'm with him, but I'm going to get a blood draw too. Oh, okay. Well, we're going to need your paperwork. She goes, oh, yeah, I just told you, you can use his. And they go, no, that's not it at all. This is his. It's his own. He's got his own designators on it. His own information is there. You need yours. And she's looking at him, and I can sense the attitude was starting with these people. And I'm like, don't fucking give these people attitude. I followed the goddamn instructions. You did not. So then she has to call this lady named Jen Shi. Jen is, I think she like was born in Tiananmen Square, China. And then like right when she was completely starting day one of learning English, I think she came to America. Because you call Jen and she actually says, hello? You got a kidney? Hello? Yeah, Jen, this is Diane. Hello, Diana. See, I wouldn't be able to do this impression on like the radio. You get in trouble when you do that. But she's that Chinese. She is so Chinese, it's incredible. And so Jen talking to Diana. Diana trying to get it through to her that she needs her to send the document. I sent it to you. And she's like, oh, God. Fucking ridiculous. This went on for way too long. And she used to call. So she loved me, but she didn't love Pooh Bear. But every time I would call, hello, Mr. Eric. Hello, Eric. Hey, Jen. How are things over there? Wonderful, Jen. Yeah, we're doing great. We're so proud of you here. We know you. Not so much your wife. Your wife is a dumb fuck. She's a stupid dumb fuck. Knock it off. And she would spell, her name was H-S-H-E-I-H. Pronounced she. I love her. I got to meet her when I saw her. She's like about 4'6", and she weighs like 490. It was like hugging one of those blow-up mascots that's inflatable. Probably the most fluffy woman on the planet. Incredible. All right. So that's the update. Tyler says, easy, not only great at growing kidneys, but also great at following directions. Yes, of course. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to leave it right there. As always, I thank you for being part of this Patreon bonus podcast. Hope you enjoyed the Something to Listen to While I Was Away episode. Great suggestion by, I think it was Chris, to post that. Didn't take me long at all. I appreciate that. Going to do it for your old pal EZ. You guys have a great one. I'll be back tomorrow right here. Welcome in. Look at that hair. That is majestic. This big clump of hair. It's so stupidly long. Adam says, just realized it's a half day for the boys. Better turn this down. Well, yeah. Well, I don't swear anymore. I don't know if you know that. That's not part of my repertoire now. I had mentioned it before, but there was a time in this podcasting history that it was like, all right, the free podcast, no swearing. But on the Patreon, that's when we let it all hang out. That's when EZ loses his mind. Just starts swearing. That's a reason to sign up and listen. You get swear words, which is dumb. Like that's something else that people pay for. Yeah, man. If you're really you really want some great content, you add swearing into it. There's no way that this could be good until he's swearing. We can do a bit. You know how there's isn't there like No Shave November? And that's supposed to raise awareness for, is it prostate cancer? Which I would argue that No Shave November means that, I mean, that has never, ever done anything. How has that done anything? People don't shave and somehow it helps people who have prostate cancer. It's just stupid. Now, if you did, all right, I'm doing No Shave November, and I'm going to show you a picture every day of my progress as my beard gets longer. Sponsor me, and then all the money goes to the American Cancer Society. Okay, all right. But just saying that you're doing something, and it doesn't do anything. Well, yeah, man, it makes awareness. Nah, bullshit. Everybody's aware of everything. Don't give me that. You're building awareness. Linda says, did you say that you won't have a dump button for the radio show? I don't think so. I don't think so. I know that this radio station, nothing goes on the air live. I think that's their way around it. But in my opinion, it's always, you should always have, everything that broadcasts should have a dump button. On the Huge Show, we have a dump button, and that's as saccharine as it comes. You never know when a caller is going to say a swear word now, but then again, Q100 doesn't go on with live calls. However, I have sworn on the radio, and I just lost my head. Adam says, did anyone ever donate to the Ice Bucket Challenge a few years ago? Well, I don't know if anybody in this chat room did. But I think that was the idea, because they did raise a ton of money. If I'm a podcast or doing my show, yeah, I actually would like a dump button. Stevie says, if the new show is not in the area, how are local people helping you with the setup? Well, I contracted an engineer, an old friend of mine, Dave Grant. Hey, fix your doorbell. And he's in communication with the radio station. And he's setting it up based on his expertise to get what I'm doing here sent to them. So that's how we do that. That is how that's working. I cannot wait to start. I am extremely excited about this. So getting back to the No Shave November deal. We could do No Swear September. We could do it somehow to raise money through the podcast for a charity. It doesn't matter. They're all great. And you would commit a dollar amount per day. Let's say if you chose 50 cents. If I make it through an entire show without swearing, you give me 50 cents for the day. This is just spitballing. We see how many days in a row I can go without swearing. So if 100 of you, let's say 100 of you give a dollar. That's $100 a day. At the end of the month, that's roughly $3,000 if I make it the whole month without swearing on the podcast. No Swear September on the EZSP. And that would include all swear words. So even damn and hell would be on that list. Can't say damn or hell. All right. Since the end of the free podcast, I've been feeling this throat issue. And I'm beginning to think that I might have come back a little too strong. There were some really great moments of making fun of Amanda today that might have affected my throat. When she revealed her love for Trump. Okay, she didn't want to come out and say it, but she clearly is a huge MAGA supporter. She's all MAGA. And that I told you. Now, remember, I talked with you that she is still a closet Zaniac. And all of those asswipes are MAGA. She is, you know, I think on borrowed time here in the audience. Because I think she must be paid by the other side, the opposition, to just get in here and find out what I'm doing and then tell them. She revealed it with her love for Trump and Ben Shapiro, of all people. A far ultra right wing talk show host. She gets all of her talking points from that son of a bitch. Tyler says, I told you not to do Amanda impressions yet. Yeah, you're right. But the moment called for it. Now, I want you all to know that I love Amanda. As much as I give her shit. Linda says, have you unblocked her yet? Oh, absolutely not. No. No, I'm not ready for that. Stevie says, I heard from someone in that circle yesterday. Weird. Can I guess? It was Kate. I'll guess it was Kate. Can you share? Can you confirm, deny, or share who it was that reached out to you, Stevie, in the former Zaniac crew? They're still out there. They still are out there doing God's work. All right. So the idea of not swearing. No dams, no hells, nothing. I don't know if I can do that. Stevie says, nope. Lynn, Melinda's ex. Oh, they broke up. Oh, I didn't know that. Melinda was interesting because I never did anything to Melinda. I liked Melinda. I don't know. She was part of that whole, well, it must be true what you say about EZ, so I hate EZ. Her and Jessica. Dark saying, you keep your fucking mouth shut, and y'all better not hear my name coming out of your fucking mouth. See what I'm saying, motherfucker? The Jessica impression always gets play. Every time I do it, I get feedback saying, don't ever stop doing it.
Erksang, I heard you've been talking shit about me. Well, there ain't no fucking way that anybody's going to believe a goddamn word you say. Now you shut the fuck up and keep my name out of your fucking mouth. I'm going to sit back and drink me some Fireball, you rat bastard, Eric Tate. Fuck you and your fucking horse you rode in on, motherfucker.
Aaron says, was the weirdo guy from Muskegon in the group? I think he was trying to do some sports cast. Yes. Oh, God, I forgot that retard's name with the black teeth.
Hey, Eric Tate. It's the Eric Tate Show. Clip of the day.
Ashley says, I love country Zane. Adam says, did she actually say that to you? Yeah, the quote was, when I was picking on her, doing the goddamn impression of her. Like,
Eric Zane, you better keep my fucking name out your fucking mouth.
What are you going to do? Give me a ticket? Oh, that was Kevin in Muskegon. Yeah, that's right. I thought it was James. I didn't think it was. Oh, it's Kevin James. That's his name, Kevin James.
The clip of the day.
Oh, that guy was so full of the retardation. God damn. The weirdo guy from Muskegon. Yeah, another guy. I never did shit to him. He just took all of the fucking idiot shit that those morons said and just ran with it. I didn't even get a chance to explain myself. Those sick fucks. Yeah, so Melinda, she shows up at the Zaniac get-together the first time we went to Nashville. And she's there with her husband. And then soon after that, she announces that she's divorcing her husband and she wants to get her mouth on a vagina. All right? Except she went and actually got the most unattractive woman that has ever existed. So that was quite a visual. When those two walked in, it was like, oh, my God, the gravy these two must be making. Holy shit. And now it's all done? Why did she reach out to you, Stevie? Was it just to say hi? She was super nice. Hell, Melinda was nice. I don't know what the fuck happened to her. I liked Jessica. I liked Melinda. I liked Lynn. I liked a lot of those people. I was bummed out when they was like, oh, well, fuck you, Eric Zane. We're leaving you. I blame Pellerito. Pellerito and Dean and Nick and dumbfuck Andrea. And Amanda is part of that group. Okay? Until further discussions prove otherwise, she absolutely must be a mole. She listens to Ben Shapiro. All right? And she loves Trump. She talked about it in the show. I give her credit for having the balls to say that she loves Trump. Okay. She said he's an asshole, but he was a great president or some shit like that. And we're like, what? And she's like, oh, yeah, he did so many great things. And we're like, what? Are you crazy? All right. So this guy, John Gibbs, we talked about him on the free podcast. He's now speaking out, and it has never been more assured that a lawsuit is about to happen when you hear this moment right here, which I'm going to play for you, hopefully, unless I fuck this up again. Here we go.
Find a new administrator. They fired John Gibbs last night. He had been on administrative leave since last week. Nothing relating to Gibbs was on the agenda for that meeting, but the board chair, Joe Moss, initiated a motion to terminate Gibbs, and nine other commissioners agreed. The only one who did not was Doug Zylstra, the only Democrat on the board. The county will post his job immediately. Commissioners shared a letter that lists several complaints against Gibbs. He was not at the meeting last night, but we do have him on with us now this morning. Wow. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you.
So, was this a surprise to you?
Not really. You know, this has been brewing, unfortunately, for a few weeks. And the timeline here is basically starting last year, I began pointing out some serious issues with the governance of the county to the commissioners. Especially regarding the legal counsel that they picked for the county. We were having some serious...
The legal counsel, through Moss's business, his business partner is related, I think this is how this goes, to the legal company, Coleman Legal Group, out of some other part of Michigan. Like it's a nepotism scenario.
Serious issues. I wrote them a long letter. A very professional letter saying we've got problems. They didn't like that very much, and so things started to get icy. Additionally, we all know about the $4 million that they offered to the health officer, which they did, in fact, offer. The judges confirmed that. And I said that that's a very bad move for the county and a bad move for the taxpayers. They did not like that very much. And so then I think my head was put on the shop.
Look at those. What are those growths on the back of his neck? I like how they have that right when he says my head was put on the chopping block.
They did not like that very much. And so then I think my head was put on the chopping block at that time.
It's a very big chopping block.
I told them that they have no cause to fire me whatsoever. And after that, they came up with these allegations that you mentioned. And I responded to those allegations point by point. They are false and defamatory. So we have that out there. And that's where we are right now. I think going forward, there's a very strong case that wrongdoing was done here and that will be pursued aggressively.
Okay, so that means I'm suing your ass. That's what John Gibbs is going to do.
Did you have any concerns about the county and the commissioners as you came into this position a year ago?
No, I was actually very excited. I really like what the commissioners stood for. I like what they campaigned on. I like the vision that they had. But, you know, as the weeks went by and as the months went by, I realized we had serious problems. I have years of experience working in the government. I worked in the Trump administration under Dr. Ben Carson. I know this stuff's supposed to work. And I tried to bring that to the table, but, you know, I was always met with deaf ears. I was always met with derision when I tried to point out serious problems that were there. So over time, it really soured. And I realized that although they had the right ideas, they really don't know how to govern the county and they don't really understand how government works and don't really have the right temperament to lead Ottawa County, which is very...
Okay, so in this six-minute interview, you heard what he just said. He talks about how he worked in the Trump administration. He knows how government works. Now, whether or not you believe that... Man, I know he did, in fact, work with the Trump administration under Carson. So Amanda probably wants to have sex with this guy or maybe like put his head in her vagina. But... that's going to resonate with voters in Ottawa County. That this guy said this about Ottawa Impact commissioners. So they're going to be like, Now, ultimately, normal thinking people like me, they just want the Ottawa Impact people gone. This is like a 6-minute campaign against them, this interview.
Very unfortunate.
One reason I ask that is because a little more than a year ago, in a surprise move that wasn't on the agenda, those same commissioners fired John Shea and in the same meeting put you into place as county administrator. Should that have been a red flag?
I don't think so.
Oh, bullshit, John. Come on.
You know, I do.
He should have said, yep. When they fired him, put me in, should have been a red flag.
I think that there were probably some issues before, especially with the way that COVID was handled. I think a lot of people were unhappy with the response there.
I
think there was a certain status quo that had settled into place that did need to be shaken up a little bit. So I don't think that in and of itself was a problem. The issue is that when the new folks came in, they didn't really know what they were doing, as it turned out. So you went from one situation where you had a stale status quo that need to be changed to a new situation where you had people with the right ideas, but they really do not know how to govern at all. That's why I was brought in. I do know how to govern. I do have that background and experience, but unfortunately, if you know, they're not willing to listen or I'm not willing to contribute, then it's not going to do any good. So I do think it was a good move to shake things up a bit, but I think unfortunately folks in there now really have proven to be disappointing to all.
Okay, as much as we've given him shit, he is sounding quite good here, in my opinion. He is he's dropping the hammer on these people.
The people that voted for them and hope that they would make positive change.
What are your issues with the Kalman Legal Group? What do you think is not being handled correctly that's putting the county in a bad spot?
Look, I think that Dave Kalman does excellent work in his area in terms of First Amendment, defending schools, defending restaurants that were shut down during COVID, et cetera. I think he does great work there. But municipal law is totally different. It's a very different beast. Municipal law, you're dealing with contracts, you're dealing with local governments, you're dealing with all kinds of issues that are very different than what the Kalman Group has had in its background. And so we were seeing huge, huge backlogs with response time. People from the county, employees would email legal and not get any response. I would ask questions and not be able to get any answers. It got to the point where I knew if I would contact them, I would never get a response. And this is a really serious issue because if I'm looking at a policy change or looking at a contract for procurement, I need a legal answer on that. I need it pretty quickly, but I wasn't getting those at all. And it became to the point where it was actually a serious problem for the operation of the county. And I had to point that out. That's my job. If there's an issue with the function of the county, I was hired to point that out to the commissioner so we could take action. And when I did point that out, instead of fixing the problem and coming up with an action plan, they instead attacked me and got mad because the Kalmans are their friends. And again, nothing personal whatsoever against Kaufman Legal Group. This is a purely professional issue, and they don't have a background and experience in municipal law to work in the county effectively, and I had to point that out.
One last question. It has to do with your offer to resign that your lawyer sent a couple weeks ago that you would resign for $630,000. Your contract, your employment contract, says that if they were to terminate you without cause, you would get a lump sum for about $160,000. Why would you offer to resign and expect them to pay you more than three times that amount?
The number we gave was the total value of my contract, because as you know, my contract is 3 years. And so that's a 3-year value.
He's like, because I'm going to sue them for three times that amount.
Value of my contract, I think that's a very fair number. Given what I've endured and the attacks that I faced, and to keep things positive going forward, that's why I made that offer to them. That would have been a way to do this amicably. But what you see with the board here, and not just with me, but with everything they're doing, is there's a very strong spirit of vindictiveness and revenge and attacking people. It's very unhealthy, and it causes constant scandal, and it causes constant lawsuits. And so they're really getting themselves into a lot of trouble by handling things in a spirit of conflict instead of handling things amicably as I proposed to them.
So you're planning to fight this?
Absolutely.
Okay. John Gibbs, the county administrator who was fired last night, thank you for joining us this morning to share your thoughts and your next steps here with this situation.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. It seems like a nice guy. Introduce. I got to get Joe Spalding. Yeah, that was something. Twice in a day, are you kidding?
Think the new Weight Watchers app.
I've lost 60 pounds and I can still enjoy all of the foods.
Hang on a second. Let me make sure I got you here. Are you there?
The hardest parts of the Weight Watchers.
I am.
All right, I just watched the John Gibbs clip that I sent you.
I did see that. I think I caught it when News 8 posted it.
Okay, Adam made a point, and I agree. He sounds very reasonable in that.
Yeah, it almost sounds like he's able to speak unfettered.
And, this guy feels like he was, dragged through the mud to be fired in the way he's going to fuck them up. This guy is part of the key to Ottawa Impact being dethroned, because it's going to be so much more money to defend what John Gibbs is attacking them for.
No, that's right. And I said every indication along the way over the last 14 months has showed me that they're afraid of a lot of their earlier conversations becoming public. So he definitely knows a lot of stuff, and he did sound fairly reasonable there. I'm sure there's a lot of degree of truth and not truth to both sides, but I kind of worry as a taxpayer in this county.
Right, right. He when he described it as he went in with the best of intentions, he liked what they ran on and all that sorts of shit, because you would expect him to say that. But then he's like, then I clearly figured out that they just don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah, and I think the thing that's hilarious to me is that I definitely said that from the very beginning about them, and a lot of people did, and then also a lot of the stuff that they're saying about John Gibbs, a lot of folks have been saying from the very beginning would turn out to be problems.
He also pointed out his background, being that he worked under Ben Carson in the Trump administration. That's not everybody remembers that, and that's going to resonate with the people of Ottawa County. This is a tried and true Trumpite. And they, they're going to be torn, because their mentality is such that, God, they want to support Auto Impact, but they've got one of Trump's cronies telling them that these idiots that's blowing all their money are fucked.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right. And I mean, at the end of the day, you have both sides of the split telling each other to stay home, and maybe, 5-10% of each side believes it. But that's bad for both sides at the end of the day on election day, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think any of them are looking. I don't think that John Gibbs seemed like he was being political when he was speaking.
No.
Now, did you see the county commission meeting last night that was dedicated to him?
I saw bits and I saw a lot of the public comment.
Okay. So when they were talking about him, the commission, they just blanked out, removed him, and they I don't know. It seemed like they.
You're struggling to say something. You don't want to say it.
No, I'm sorry. I'm actually the worst thing happened. I just dead blanked on it. So
yeah, you sounded like you were having a stroke. I'm not gonna lie to you.
No, I appreciate you being nice and saying it sounded like a stroke. So there we go.
Oh my God, holy shit! Well, don't worry about it. Just forget it. I do that at least once a day. Patrick writes, "Is he okay?"
I was just choking on my coffee. I'll be fine. I promise. All
right. You know, I always catch you. I always just kind of like catch you and throw you to the wolves. But you do a great job. Everybody loves you. Stevie thought you were glitching like McConnell. God damn it. That was great. All right. Look, everybody loves you. I always appreciate your time.
Yeah, no worries, Eric Zane. Thanks for calling me and picking my brain on this crazy shit that's happening.
It's remarkable. It's just fantastic. I love every bit of it.
It's great TV.
I mean, I don't.
You love drama, so yeah.
I mean, I don't, but I do. I mean, watching these assholes twist, they're gonna get what's coming to them before too long. You know.
Oh, absolutely, and I think that we're gonna see a great deal of that on May 7th.
Right,
we have the recall of Lucy. Yep. So,
I appreciate you very much as always.
Thanks, Eric Zane. Sorry for the glitch.
No, that was great. It was my favorite part of the whole conversation.
Oh God.
Okay, see ya. Bye bye. Okay, when he started to circle the drain, I was kind of like I raised an eyebrow to you because I was like, "What the fuck? Just what's going on here?" No, a butcher's ass. Kenny writes, made me think of Billy Madison. Today, Junior. Chris says the same thing. He McConnell'd. Two weeks. It's like that scene from Total Recall. Some of you may not even get that reference. Wow. Well, to be fair, I just spring it on him. I just called him up and say, hey. But getting back to that whole deal about John Gibbs. John Gibbs sounded fine. He sounded very on point. I'll give him that. Some of you may... know the name Mike Wallace. He is a NASCAR driver, I guess. He is related to the famous Wallace family. You've got Kenny Wallace, and you've got Rusty Wallace. Rusty Wallace is a Hall of Famer. Mike is a veteran NASCAR driver, brother of these two. And he's recovering from a brutal beating. This is old. Never mind. Forget that I just caught that it was old. I'm glad I did. The person who sent it to me was Bleeding Heart Brian. And typically when you send stories, you know, if they're a couple of weeks old, I don't mind that at all. But I'm glad I caught it before, really, because I hadn't heard about this anywhere else. And Bleeding Heart Brian, you know, he'll send me stories and flurries. And he sent me one about NASCAR driver Mike Wallace beaten, knocked unconscious, daughter also hurt. So that story is 8 years old. 8 years old? What the fuck is wrong with you? So on the Patreon, I just stopped down to talk about driver Mike Wallace. And then just as I was getting started, I noticed that story you sent is 8 years old, period. What the fuck is wrong with you? Question mark. Now that is one where if Amanda said, old, I would be like, oh, no, you should beat me up if I'm reading to you an 8-year-old story like it's brand new. God, now I got to be really careful. He sent me a whole bunch of them. If you ever want to send me a story, if you have my number, you can text it to me. If not, email it on the Shoreliner Striping inbox, eric@ericzaneshow.com. Linda says, I actually watched the NASCAR show on Netflix, and I've never watched a race in my life. It was an interesting show. You're like a sponge. You absorb everything. That's awesome. All right. Let's see. What else do I want to talk about here? So, Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, years ago, he got like some chick pregnant. Because Jerry Jones, like 85. And actually 27 years old, 27 years ago, he got a woman pregnant. And the lady had the baby. Alexandra Davis is her name. I've talked about this before. And Jones said, all right, I want you to keep this quiet. I'm going to pay you a lot of money to keep it quiet. And I'll support the child, but I don't want anybody knowing about this. Alexandra Davis said, no problem, and signed an agreement. However, the daughter, I take it back, the mom is Cynthia Davis Spencer. The daughter is Alexandra Davis. The daughter is now 27. And she's like, I want to know for sure who my father is. And Jerry Jones says, well, you know, we can't do this. Your mother already signed an agreement. And this is all behind closed doors. The world doesn't know about it. And she's like, well, yeah, I get that. However, I am not my mother. You have that agreement with my mother. I'm an entirely different person. And you need to take a paternity test. And so he said, nope, not going to do that. Well, no, he is. Because the court says so. Jerry Jones must take paternity tests to see if he's the father of 27-year-old woman after his appeal is rejected. Now, Jerry Jones is married. I don't know if this is if Mrs. Jones is aware of this. How old is Jerry Jones? Jerry Jones age. He's 81. So he was in his mid-50s then when this whole thing went down. This chick's like, bullshit. I want to find out who my dad is. For real. All right. And the judge agrees. So now he has to go and have a paternity test done to determine that he is, in fact, the father of that chick. Alex is in a position where she no longer has to hide her truth or live under the thumb of fear, and maybe she's going to finally get some peace. This statement. Jones's lawyer argued that Cynthia's husband at the time of the alleged relationship is legally presumed to be the father. It would appear that that argument was rebuffed in court. So, boy, this sounds very entangled. I don't know if it was this Cynthia Jones or Cynthia Davis. She had the affair with Jerry, and then she was married to a guy. She gets pregnant with his baby. Did she then tell her husband that, hey, I had an affair with Jerry Jones, his baby's inside of me, we're going to have the baby, and you and I are going to raise it, and we're getting all this money? Or does she keep all that shit quiet? Jones has been married since 1963. He will now have to wait on pins and needles for a Maury Povich show-style announcement of whether he is or is not the father. So the only thing he's banking on is that this Cynthia Davis is like had sex with another dude while she was having sex with Jerry, and that it isn't, she isn't the father, or she isn't the daughter of Jerry Jones. Oh my God. So now the idea will be that once she does this and finds out that, hey, he is the father. So I do not believe that Alexandra Davis is doing this just to find out, hey, yeah, I just want to know who my dad is. Alexandra Davis knows full well how much money Jerry Jones is worth. So I don't know. Maybe if Jerry Jones, maybe she doesn't. I mean, because I'm guessing that there was some point in all of this when Jerry Jones is being told, hey, I want you to take a paternity test. He could have said, well, I'll pay you this much money if you shut up. It might not be about money. We don't know. Is there financial gain from this? Aaron asks. That is the question, the million-dollar question. So this chick is supposedly Jerry Jones' daughter. How'd you like to be Jerry Jones where you pay the mom or the woman to just keep it quiet, and she does, and then it still comes back to bite you in the ass? God damn. I really feel bad for the ultra rich, don't you? I mean, seriously, at the end of the day, it all boils down to this. I've said it before. When you are rich, you lose your mind and you go out of your way to invent problems for yourself. Be thankful that you are not rolling in money. Now, sometimes people buck that trend and somehow manage to stay normal. But there is a certain level of retardation that makes a person's brain rot when they get too much money. And I'm guessing that Jerry Jones is no exception. Holy cow. Cute girl, though. Jerry Jones makes attractive people. She's absolutely beautiful. And then the idea, I wouldn't like the idea also if there was, if you had nothing to do with that child throughout your whole life. That would make me feel terrible, you know, knowing that you brought that person into the world. You were never there for them. That's awful. I wouldn't be able to live with myself. Like if somebody came over and said, "Easy, you banged me in whatever year. Here's your 20-year-old son." I'd be like, "Oh my God, I love you." I would. I seriously would. All right, folks, that's it. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you on Sunday. It's a big fraud Sunday. Till next time, have a good one, folks. Bye-bye.